051.
Yeah.
51 for everyone who doesn't like Chagall's arbitrary numbering system.
We don't care what they like.
Oh.
Yeah, it's episode 051. $90.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will come out the day Uncharted 3 comes out, the culmination of pretty much Naughty Dog's entire, I want to say, 10, 15 year run in video games. But first, let me introduce my co panel, Marcus Ellison.
Who would it go?
Really? Defy Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
Ari Chantley.
What up?
I thought that was T.I.
Mikkelin.
I'll take it.
Yes.
We're going to call him something different every
episode. You established that?
You did. Yes. So, yeah, last episode was 050. That was
Nitro.
I know, it was something else.
It was something.
Now, if that was the first episode you listened to, I apologize first and foremost.
But if your first episode you listened to was 050.5, that was a hoot.
What
all we played was games.
Is this Marvel? What? 0.5? Is that Marvel or DC?
No, it's Marvel, and it's 0.1.
Oh, okay.
You should have been there when they had Ghost Rider 0.1.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zero issue. Anyway.
That's only a dose of what you can expect from the show.
Yes, a bunch of nerds talking about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or some guys who say they're nerds, but they really have lives.
You can be a nerd and with life.
Yeah, it's kind of a point of, like, I can afford my hobby and my passions.
Anyway, yeah. From
you've been to Ibiza.
Once.
Hey.
Horrible experience.
Hey.
No girls.
Neither did we.
I
we all danced in a circle.
What?
Okay, moving on. So
plug the show. Oh god, I'll do it.
Talk to Marcus. So plug the show.
Okay, I'm not plugging in.
Oh, well. So did y'all dance in a circle with your pocketbooks?
We were just like, fuck boys. And then we just took off our high heels and like, I just want to dance. I had my phone out and I was showing everybody the LOL smiley face.
Emoticons for everyone.
I'm pretty sure single ladies came on at some point.
And we started doing the single ladies dance.
We probably started doing that.
Yes, we did.
And some people started,
we're talking about Naughty Dog. Follow, like us on Facebook, Pop Culture Podcasts. Email us if you want to at weloveppcp@yahoo.com. Follow us on Tumblr, peacebelovesanonymous.tumblr.com. You can go to the fully functional archive now at popculturepodcast.wordpress.com.
Yes.
You can follow us on spill.com.
Yes.
We have, I think, two accounts there, Chagall and Marcus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
look for take care, spike your hair, woo woo woo. You know it.
What the fuck was that?
Learn.
He will be tweeting live about that album tonight at 10. Just follow us at We Love PCP on Twitter.
Oh,
and I think we've been plugged.
Good. So this episode's about Naughty Dog. Everyone.
Not the position.
There were some jokes to be made, but we're not going to repeat them on that.
It's like, now Naughty Dog. It's not a yoga position either.
It's a downward fucking dog.
It's downward facing dog.
That's not how Travis says it.
Sounds like a fourth day to me.
Anyways, yeah. Naughty Dog is most known for doing the Uncharted franchise.
And, well, now.
That's what they're primarily known for now. But we're gonna come back.
Their
humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Where pretty much one of the biggest lower key studios in video games is doing right now.
Right.
Lower key.
We're talking about.
I mean, because like the big studios or stuff like that.
They're subsidiaries.
Like Bungie.
Yeah.
Rockstar. 2K.
Really?
Yeah.
2K games, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
But like Naughty Dog is one of those that like. In the PS2, they had a single focus of games. They were like branching out and doing all this weird stuff.
They had one
platforms and platforms
they
only.
They would have a franchise per generation.
Yes,
and they stuck with it. They even though they would change their styles every once in a while, which if you consider this,
you could tell the similarities.
Yeah, it's like, we'll get into that as the time comes to it though.
Will we?
Will we?
You know what? Anyway,
that's what I thought.
Naughty Dog was founded by Jason Rubin and Andy Gavin. They're essentially sort of like those. I don't know how to describe them, but they're sort of the Zuckerbergs
You mean the Wonder Bosses?
Winklevoss.
Winklevoss, there you go.
The Winklevoss. They're twins that didn't announce anything.
Oh, so the Winklevoss.
Or the Olsons.
They've got more money than Jesus.
They do.
Jesus gave it all away.
But he had all of it.
You can't just be giving all your time away.
Hey.
Oh, God.
No more in time jokes.
Yeah, they found it, Naughty Dog. I'm not sure the exact date they found it.
They started back in the 80s. I know.
Well, yeah, like 89, I think, from like the first
like during the Apple IIe era, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, we're talking like Matt Zapp.
Yeah, their first game was a game called Math Jam.
Oh,
snap!
I remember that one.
It wasn't Oregon Trail?
I didn't.
Hey, yo, what y'all know about Math Blaster, though?
Hey, yo.
Yes,
I know that Math Blaster. Yeah.
Cole,
I do.
Yep, that little zapper jump.
Yep. Yeah. Math has never been so fun.
It never was.
Cyber chasing had nothing on that Math Blaster.
Cyber chasing.
What about that?
Anyway.
It's weird, like, I think
educational games.
They started off, they did like three games for, like, Apple software.
Yeah.
And then for like, I want to say, from what it seems like, a solid maybe 10 years or something, mm-hmm. around that time, did nothing.
Nothing, yeah. It was
weird.
Apple doesn't do games.
Well.
Not yet.
They still not yet.
And then in 1996, when their company was founded.
Well, yeah.
Well, not there wasn't a problem then, but when it resurged, they came out with one of PlayStation's biggest
flagship
titles at the time, Crash Bandicoot.
Oh yeah,
Crash Bandicoot.
I still remember. I actually memorized that dance that he did. If you just left it on for a while,
the whole family getting together. Yeah, yeah, I don't know that.
Well, Crash Bandicoot was the story of Bandicoot and Crash.
Exactly.
For those of you who don't know what Bandicoot is, it's confusing.
Yeah,
Crash Bandicoot is very heavily influenced by Sonic the Hedgehog.
One of
the original Naughty Dog founders, whatever, I think at one point worked
for Sega.
Sega working on Sonic 2.
They did.
So, there were people reaching for random animals to make games about.
Yeah,
people,
and they were like
gecko,
like a goddamn echidna.
And then they sit there. No one's ever gonna make a game about a bandicoot.
It's like even though we got games like Blasto and Echo the Dolphin and Vector Man.
Hey, Echo.
Echo.
Echo is.
I'm still waiting on James Cameron to do an Echo movie. It'll be beautiful.
That before he makes an Aquaman movie.
I know, right?
He'll make mistakes.
That was an Entourage joke.
Slots stays that way.
Wasn't the main villain's name
Cortex.
Nitro Cortex or just
Neo Cortex?
There we go.
And with a big N on his head.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like
for.
Every time I think of that Bandicoot story, I keep thinking of
Bandicoot. Me too. Exactly. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
He took my sister.
Oh my God, it's taken.
No, it's the.
I've got a certain set of skills.
It's Joey Wheeler's life.
I can spin and I can jump like a Tasmanian devil.
And don't let me put on my tiki mask.
Uda.
How many Crash Bandicoot games were there?
Well, Naughty Dog went on to do four games before they sold off the franchise, or I think Sony.
Oh.
Right.
And that was why that crappy Xbox one came out.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Crash Bandicoot was noted for being one of the first American games to go to Japan.
And do well.
Specifically because they pretty much just copied Sonic and Crash. You know, Japanese people love those
Bandicoot
funny looking mascots with the big eyes.
And the giant nose. And the teeth. With the giant smile and no lines.
I'm so chibi. Kawaii.
Bloodwork and pre-pants you wore, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Yes.
Either that or just long shorts.
Long shorts or something like that.
John Cena
shorts?
Jorts? So is he from Baltimore?
No white tee, sorry. No.
But like, the thing about the game is like John Cena.
The weird thing about the game is like it was supposed to be. They sold it as like, oh, it's the first 3D platformer. I'm like, we can only go up and down and left and right. You just put the model, the character models in 3D. So
it was really just going forward.
Yeah, you just go forward.
It was just going forward.
Yeah.
Except for when you had to run towards.
Was it the first game to start doing that?
Yeah. It's annoying because they never did
enough screen to actually dodge. Suddenly came up.
Exactly. Yeah.
You had to memorize the course and like based on like dying.
I died a lot of times.
That's something they started doing a lot of other games.
Yeah.
It's like pissed me off.
the Indiana, like the the Temple of Doom boulder will find you, like,
I died a lot of times
I'm
on that.
I'm breaking all these crates, trying to get all the peaches and whatever like that, and I'm like, avoid the nitro boxes, avoid the,
fun fact, Crash Bandicoot, the entire first, the entire Crash Bandicoot franchise came out at a point in my life when I wasn't really playing video games, so I have no experience with Crash Bandicoot as a franchise.
I loved me some Crash Bandicoot. And Crash Bandicoot Team Racing was one of my first experiences with Mark.
But like that first one was like, you know, if it isn't Crash Bandicoot.
was that Clancy Brown?
They had that Nickelodeon level of like voice over, right?
Yeah.
So it was actually pretty good.
So know, everyone from Doug and Rugrats showed up.
It's like, Skeeter was like, and just walked
It's like, there's an episode of Doug where Rogers calls Cedar Skeet Face.
Oh, no.
I couldn't control myself.
And it was in hindsight. Move on.
Yes, it is. It's so funny.
A couple years later, you find out we meant Cedar to beat Rogers.
But yeah,
and then stole his leather jacket.
The Crash Bandicoot thing, like, I enjoyed that first game. It was a, you know, I really don't know why I was collecting the peaches. It's like,
it's during that time where Mario popped in life, you just have to collect things.
But yeah, but it's like, it wasn't like
arbitrarily correct.
But like, it was like in like Donkey Kong Country. I don't do anything with these things. It's like I'm just collecting them to collect them.
Wow, you really didn't really do anything with
them. Most platformers of the day, you didn't do anything.
With Sonic, you went back.
Yeah.
To that banana war. You were glad.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Did you see how much he cried? He went in that banana war. And there was nothing.
That's just like Mario not finding Peach. Just like, Toad again?
Another castle. Ah! Just tell me where she is.
So, it's really interesting how the death cycle for the early PS1 was. Because a year later, they came out with Crash 2, Cortex Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the best-selling PlayStation
period.
Game of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Single best-selling
game. The Metacritic for it was like a B game, but it was the best-selling game on PS1.
I loved that game.
Yeah, I did too. Like, I bought that.
Was that the one with the jetpack?
I think that's the one. Yeah, it is the one with the jetpack. Yeah. I remember.
Fond memories.
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember that. I honestly couldn't tell you the narrative. I just remember I was just trying to, like, every
time I try to think of Crash, I think of Banjo.
Exactly. It's like, I think about that stupid bird pooping eggs or whatever like that.
It had nothing to do with Crash.
I do remember, like, trying to walk on the ice, and it's just like, they did that, they did the ice skating sound effect, but I was like, he's not wearing ice skates. He's just wearing, like, sneakers.
I mean, there wasn't really much of a narrative
for
Crash Bandicoot. It's just like, Neo Cortex. Neo Cortex is messing things up. Exactly.
A big-headed villain, and, like, we gotta fight him. And, like,
exactly.
But eventually, they did the dog.
You gotta slap him with your backpack.
But if they did the Sonic and Donkey Kong thing where they're just doing a whole bunch of characters that you just didn't really care
about. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like his sister.
Yeah.
In the time. Anyway, what's the big...
Tiny.
Yes.
Tiny.
Oh, what a shock.
Hey.
Oh,
I just got that joke.
Dang.
You know what's weird? Sometimes when I think of Crash Bandicoot, I think of Spyro.
Well, here's the interesting thing. During that period of time, Insomniac Games, another one of the games for the studios in Sony's pocket, was essentially was doing the Spyro the Dragon series,
they were the two best
platformers for PS1.
Yeah,
the best mascot characters. Big Eyes.
So those two games were like, I want to say, complimenting each other.
Yeah,
and Naughty Dog,
and there were crossovers. Too.
Yeah, Naughty Dog has been doing that with Insomniac. Seats,
yeah. It's like, dude, bro, Spyro, Banjo, fell for it.
That's rare.
Anyway, so yeah, a year later, after Cortex Strikes Back, we got Crash 3 Warped.
I don't think I picked up that one.
That's the time.
I think I played that one.
Went to Japan. And became the first one to go platinum.
It was a platinum hit, something like that. So
I didn't even know games could go platinum.
Back in the PS1 days.
Oh, in Christian Rock, they had Frankincense and Myrrh.
I see what you did there.
I like that.
So you can't go platinum. So Japan, it's a genie's eye.
And tentacle.
Oh,
jeez.
How do you say that?
On a stick.
Bible Black went tentacle.
It went straight up Gmail.
It went dark real quick. Y'all be back on this. So, anyone have any fond memories of Crash 3?
Not really.
Well, because I think I finally picked it up back when the Xbox picked it. Like, and I think I was playing. Jeez, Blinks.
Oh my god!
Blinks, not Timekeeper. I was like,
Blinks.
Sweeper. I'm sorry, Timekeeper. Looking like. And I was like, and there were some other like time travel, time manipulation games were kind of being a little bit of a thing.
Well, when they started doing platformers, they had to sort of add a gimmick to differentiate it from any other platform.
Beyond jumping on stuff or whatever.
Yeah, beyond jumping on stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Mario was the only one who could get away with that, but eventually with Mario, they said we have to make him do something.
Yeah. Else. Give him a water pump. I mean, yeah, Warped. Like, I don't know.
It's the best reviewed game of the Trash trilogy.
Of the three, but
which
like,
is weird, because I didn't enjoy it as much. I don't know why.
I think it's like the more technically proficient one.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of familiar territory on that same token. It's like, it did everything. If you play the first two, it's more, you're getting more of what you want, but I don't know. Maybe, if you, like, a game by itself, I'm sure it was great. I played it. I don't think I owned it, though.
Oh, but interesting was, after Warped, they came back to the Crash franchise. And they started doing something that becomes a trend with Naughty Dog. Okay. Instead of doing a traditional game, we got Crash Team Racing.
And I loved Crash Team Racing.
It was the alternative because you couldn't get Mario Kart or something like that.
You guys one anyway.
Because yeah. I played Crash Team Racing before I played Mario Kart.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, surprise.
Yeah, it was my first experience with a kart racing game, and I would play that religiously. I would play that game all the time. I had, like, if there was trophies for games back then, I would have had all of them because I did everything and locked all the cars and the characters. I love that game.
I see, it's the thing. Like, I was a diehard Mario fan. I love the Mario Kart. And I picked up the...
Well, also, at that time, no one I really knew had a Nintendo 64.
Well, yeah. Mario Kart was still the gold standard of kart racing.
Yeah, yeah.
Diddy Kong Racer is a better game. Thank you.
Diddy Kong Racer was up there. I was also a big fan of Beetle Adventure Racing, though. I can't explain why.
What now?
Beetle Adventure Racing.
What now?
Nothing of this.
It was a Beetle... The Volkswagen licensed off a Beetle racing game.
Ew.
It was the
N64. Okay, I think...
But they let you shoot rockets and stuff like that.
Out of a Beetle?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know why.
Kirby, that's for the Kirby fully loaded, I guess.
Indie Dragon Ball.
What podcast is that going to be on?
You know what the interesting thing about Kirby Fully Loaded? It was written by Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911.
Right? What?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
He blamed Lindsay Lohan. Moving on.
Really?
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 Riley.
Moving on.
Yes, moving on. Jimmy! So, 2099 was the last game with the Crash franchise. I think at that point, they gave up the license for Crash and decided we're going to do something new.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they moved.
That's why the Xbox game
came. And at that point, PS2 cannot win.
99.
So PS4 would come out. So rather than jump, like, just do another Crash game, they thought we're going to start a brand new IP and we're going to tie directly to Sony. This is when they really got the Sony's pocket as a Sony studio.
We got you. We
We're going to do Sony, we're going to do exclusives for this system.
Yeah.
And then we got
the Jack franchise in 2001.
Yeah. Sorry, again.
Jack and Daxter. One of the most frustratingly fun games ever.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I loved.
It really took me a year to beat that game.
Whoa.
Damn. Yeah.
Because I remember.
They're like, it's not like the game itself is hard.
Yeah.
But they put in like sort of like, I want to say, FU levels in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty much Twitch playing. So if I was like 7 years old, I probably could have gotten easy. But like maybe.
We've talked about it before. I don't know what it is about us when we were younger. We must have had superpowers because we play games that are just like ridiculous.
Because you're hyperactive.
Yeah, there's no logic.
But we have like muscle memory stuff. Like
so 12-year-old Avery was not getting it. It was one of the first games I got for the PS3.
Yeah, it was actually one of the launch titles.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
You could actually see the comparisons. Sometimes with Crash Bandicoot and Dax, Jack and Daxter, where like when his little spin attack was a direct.
Sucker Punch and I want to say Insomniac had that same vein where like they moved on in franchises, but you can still see
those kind of parallel. Like,
gotcha.
So it's like Cooper, right?
It's like when you play Infamous, Cole moves like fire through the walls.
Yeah.
Although there are a lot of weapons.
There were a lot of weapons. They did a lot of things that Ratchet.
Yeah, it's like, I got a sheepinator. I'm going to turn the Chimera into sheep.
That would be awesome. They should.
They really should have.
Anyway, Jack and Daxter, in the precursor that I see, with the story of a mute elven boy named Jack and his annoying friend Daxter.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's like the wisecracking psychic.
This should have been a Hyrule.
And eventually, The two of them, and they live in this island, I forgot, the island nation, with this green sage and his hot daughter.
Yeah.
Dasher falls into a well.
Well, no. But first, the two of them decide to steal a boat and go to the dark island they've forbidden to go into.
Because that makes
sense. And Dasher falls into the dark.
It's all Dasher's
fault. And Dasher doesn't do a thing. He just, like, looks.
He looks in and jumps over, and then he comes out as what the creators call, I'm going to say, an Ozlet. Was like half otter, half weasel.
Like and he couldn't really. I mean, what was he gonna do? No, so he was a mute.
No.
Yeah. He used to be a little boy, like, a little elven boy.
Yeah.
Human boy. Wow. I never played these games. So
I mean, you're too busy, you know, beating police cars up. So yeah.
Anyway, so what ends up happening is that Jack honestly wants to save his friend.
Yeah.
And Daxter becomes his stupid on his shoulder sidekick.
Yeah, just
like, and wasn't Daxter like hanging it over Jack's head half the time?
Yeah, he's like on his shoulder. Ran, Jack Daxter would like hang on his shoulder, like flying like in the air. Because he's like, because Jack had moved.
Yeah, like the animation was actually kind of cool, because he kind of ragdolled behind him, like in Whiplash or whatever.
No, I meant like hanging the fact that he's an otter over his head.
So, yeah.
Like, so
weird. I'm buddy, you can help me out here.
Yeah, but you didn't turn me into a fairy.
So meanwhile, Jack goes on this journey to discover like the true purpose of Dark Eco and meet all these random sages, like the red sage, the blue sage. Because like, the game had this sort of weird elemental system where the Eco was like a big core of the franchise. And while he's journeying, there's these two people. I think their names were Gol and Mia, and they were the masters of Black Eco, and they were like a scourge in the world. And like, and meanwhile, in the background, there's all this talk about the precursors and what they mean. All these weird, vaguely monstrous artifacts that they've left on the planet. Long story short, after some annoying fucking hover jet levels and what was it? The hover jet levels were the ones I got stuck on.
Yeah.
And Jack, one of my core problems with Jack Frantic, what took me so long to beat it was, one of those games where they give you a health bar, but you can only get hit three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you got hit three times,
you're dead.
No matter what the severity of, like, it could be like,
there was no level, nothing.
It doesn't matter if it's a scratch attack or a hyper beam. It's like,
it was one of those things that you had to learn your enemy, how the world works. Rather than just jumping through it like a crazy person.
Exactly. Like, the way, you know, platformers are kind of the way... It's a puzzle series. Nope, not that. Although, that game did make me want to get some goggles.
Right.
True.
Already, so, yeah. Came up perfect. Wow. I was like, Mom, I need some goggles.
So, yeah.
But this is before the whole Echo story got really weird and convoluted.
Okay, so, here's the interesting thing with Jack. Now, Jack 2 came out.
And then he went...
Later, and I don't know what happened.
They gave him the Shadow the Hedgehog treatment.
It was like the game changed fundamentally. It went from a weird platforming game
to an action
open world game.
Yeah,
in the Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
and like the game fundamentally got darker. Like Jack 1.
The world is darker for one thing.
Jack 1 ended with them finding some weird portal.
Yeah.
Jack 2 opens with them going into the portal, getting eaten by some monster, and waking up in some weird future world.
Yeah.
Needless to say, things aren't ready to eat for everyone quite as much anymore.
At this point in the game, they get captured by the quote-unquote military, the Crimson Guard.
Yeah.
And Jack spends...
And he meets another hot girl.
A.K.A. the SS, basically. They're basically just like a fascist... police officer unit.
You know, and Jack ends up spending, I want to say, 2 years in military prison.
Yeah. And, like, you just wonder, how did it get this far?
Like they beat the worst.
He was mute. He was a nice little kid.
The big opening scene with, like, Daxter being on his own for 2 years, finally manages to rescue Jack. And Jack's first words are, "I'm going to kill Praxis."
Like, and I was just like,
and then that's the film for the rest of the game.
Exactly.
Like, Jack stopped punching people and started shooting people with guns.
Exactly. Like, high-end, like, we're not talking, like, fun...
Those are high-power rifles.
Yes, exactly. There are rounds flying...
You've been tortured in the military prison for 2 years. You won't say something.
True. This is this little elven boy just ends up in this dark dimension and goes to prison.
I took my innocence...
And my mutism.
Now I'll take his life.
Separated into like sort of like you're fighting the Crimson Guard and Jack with a bang while you're starting to reunite with all his friends like Kira and her Kira the love interest in the last game has become something like a racer.
Yeah. And got even hotter.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm a furry.
Not really a furry. You just had elf ears. Now if you like Dasher, you're a furry. I can not infer your dual feeling.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Ew.
Wow.
So it's like Jack doing. It turns into a Grand Theft Auto game. You're just walking around the city.
You're stealing hovering cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, it's your odd job for various organizations.
Though the worst thing about probably the worst thing about Jack 2 is the odd jobs, especially when you had to do those races and the controls were terrible.
The races got better. What pissed me off about Jack 2 was the goddamn hoverboard levels.
The hoverboard.
Oh yes.
Because it's like it felt like the same controls from like the
20. Like,
I think it was one of those things where like collision detection wasn't perfect.
Wasn't
enough.
Yeah.
You would do a move, land on the thing, it's still.
There were a lot of invisible walls in that game.
There were some kinks that needed to be worked out.
Yeah, we needed to kind of do some adjustments here
One of my favorite parts of Jack 2 is they fixed the health system, so now you actually have a like sort of upgradable.
Yeah.
Evolving health system, and you're no longer dying every 5 seconds.
But then again, they probably had to do that because you have guns now.
Yeah, and you're fighting stronger elements of those ogre things.
Though
the metalheads.
Jack has no concept of cover, but it's all good.
Just need cover. When you get close enough, he kicks you in the head.
And then he has the dark echo powers.
Yeah, the dark echo powers. I love the gun. Because they didn't just give you a standard gun.
Yep.
That carbine, whatever.
Yeah, it just transformed and became the Peacemaker, one of my favorite weapons
yes.
of all time.
Yep.
Awesome name.
And the black guy, I want to say Sig or something, kept showing up and saying, this is my Peacemaker.
Yep.
It's like, it's my boomstick. Like,
it's a BAMF.
So yeah, Jack 2, pretty much, you deal, and it's revealed in Jack 2, either where it gets weird. When you play the game, you keep seeing this little kid walking around with a stupid little alligator thing.
Yeah.
Halfway through the game, you learn that this little kid is Jack. In this world, even the future, it's the past.
Yep.
Oh. And mind screwing.
Wait,
then
the
love interest from the last game.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make much sense.
Well, no, that becomes something in the third game. But to finish the thought, like, what happens is, like, while you're running around with F. Jack, they keep talking about this dude, I think he's with Mar or something.
Yeah. I think it was Mar.
Okay, some ancient guy who supposedly built this city. And everyone's saying, like, hints that maybe Jack has some relation to him.
Yeah.
And then they reveal that the young Jack is supposed to be his descendant. But some weird...
Timey-wimey. Wobbly.
All you know is at the end of the game, they end up paradox. Sending young Jack into the future in the event of Jack and Daxter.
And now he's his own grandfather or something like that.
Jack stays in the past, Akira and everyone and Daxter. Meanwhile, Daxter gets a girlfriend. He gets to the furry.
It's very confusing. It's like Brian
best furry couple since Lola and Bugs Bunny.
Well, that's not.
And Lola is fine.
I like that better than any of Brian Griffin's relationships.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the dogs and the people. It's a problem.
It's beef jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just gonna be all right with it.
It's wrong. It's okay to watch two rabbits fight in sex. It's not okay to see a dog and a woman having sex. That's wrong.
Or a dog and a rabbit.
Lord. Now that. I have to
say. I mean, if you can watch a deer beating up a dog, then you can watch anything.
Or put
a
monkey with a frog.
Or bass the mouth, or...
or ass the trout.
Yep.
I'm excited about my... Anyway, I didn't really realize there was that much of a turnaround, but a year later, after Jack 2, Jack 3 came out.
Yes.
Yep.
I was pretty sure Jack 3 is just a game they...
AKA made, Mad Max Jax.
When they just added stuff.
Yeah, it's basically bonus content, for the most part.
With a shorter haircut.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they gave him more, I want to say...
Shorter haircut.
Adult look.
But a better goatee.
And, yeah, they changed the story of Jack 3, after the events of Jack 1, Jack 2, Jack ousted the previous leader of the city.
Right.
And it's this new group has come in and taken up control.
Yeah.
And they are anti-Dark Eco. And because Jack is, quote-unquote, a Dark Eco...
So they're straight edge.
They kick him out of the city.
It's a straight edge society. We're better than you. Get out, you druggie.
So Jack gets kicked out. And he gets thrown to the wasteland, him and Daxter. And, well... They get picked up by the Mad Max.
And then it's like, Jax, come out and play.
What I find funny about, you get picked up, you go to this new city where all these, apparently everyone who didn't want to be in that city.
Is there.
I don't know, it's like, is there nowhere else to go? I got this feeling the last one was like, there's nowhere else. This is the whole world.
There's nowhere else.
It's like, what just happened?
But that's because free roaming wasn't really free roaming back then.
I'm pretty sure that was one of those games where they jerry-rigged the PS2.
The DVD is only because it was a bit so much
So anyway, you go to the city, you get forced to become someone, like, fight in a tournament, And then after you survive, they turn. They make you like one of their what do they call them? Drifters.
I mean, you're like one of them. You're the
yeah. It's like as a ragtag group.
Yeah, he's a part of the job. Meanwhile, you're bonding with the various characters.
He's a part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. That's what he is.
Meanwhile, Jack just wants to get quote unquote revenge against
Revenge!
The guy who kicked him out of the city in the first place.
Because who doesn't need a little revenge, right?
My problem with Jack 3 is apparently they forgot that Jack's love interest was Kira.
Yeah.
In this entire game, Kira doesn't show up.
No.
And if she does, she doesn't have any dialogue.
If she showed up, she must have just been like a
background character.
Yeah. Just like, and walking around the back.
Currently now,
just tertiary.
He's macking on Ashley. The red-headed dread girl from Jack 2.
Yeah, so
it was hot, her weird little fierce elf thing going on, tattoos.
I mean, he grew up.
It happened, bro.
He ain't need all that innocence no more.
Oh.
anyway.
He was in prison.
They didn't just come out and say, here's Jack 2, but with a bigger world. They revamped the whole gun system.
Yep.
They did. Jack had more life. Not only could he do dark...
And dune
Jack,
buggies.
The new buggies. That's on point, though.
They're awesome.
That
would be a problem. and they revamped the eco powers. So Dark Jack and Light Jack.
Yep.
Yeah. All the puzzles, Dark Jack, which I feel is... Why didn't they call him Cage or something like that? I would like that better.
Dark what?
Dark. Instead of calling him Dark Jack, call him Cage. Just put the name backwards. I don't know. Just say Dark Jack. Come on. DJ.
It'd be like Taj, not Cage.
Yeah.
You put a line on top of the A.
Yes,
exactly.
Anyway, so we end up at I love the guns now. Cause not only do you have four guns, like a sniper rifle, the peacemaker, a standard machine gun,
and then
each one involved in three separate new weapons.
Yes,
so like the machine gun turned like a spinning heat seeking turret gun.
Yeah,
the peacemaker can like shoot out like special beam cannon.
Kamehameha waves.
Now the story of Jet 3 gets even worse. Because the entire thing is Jack fighting this new regime which wants the power of the precursors. And he wants the precursor power.
They go back to the precursors after they kind of forgot about it in the second one.
Yeah.
They reveal who the precursors are. They're the other things that Daxter is.
Yep.
So this guy who hated Daxter and Jack for being dark eco freaks
is a pair.
Okay, even more.
He's got something in Jew or something like that.
Okay, even more. Is a scene when you learn what they are. Like, you see the giant, like, precursor statue.
Yeah.
Talking about, obviously, and you look behind it. And then you see, like, the three little other things manipulating it.
It's like Oz.
And then they cut to, like, a weird scene of, like, do not... They put up the screen.
Do not observe this. The man behind the giant head in the screen. It's like, Toto.
Are you serious?
Yep.
So...
they pulled a Dorothy. Yeah.
And then, like... and, like, what cracked me up is, like, Daxter's only wasted the entire game.
Yep.
Like, what? He was tired of walking around naked. He just wanted the pants.
And then he finally got them.
And then we actually meet Jack's dad as well. Because they explore more of the whole what happened with the young Jack,
right,
and why he was in the city and why he was being separated from his father.
Yeah.
This weird tender moment where Jack meets his dad as an adult and his dad dies.
Kind of odd. Kind of touching.
It was.
I was like, wow. Didn't
see Tron Legacy moments. Dad, it's been a while. Bummer.
It's like, I love you. I know.
Oh, God. anyway, the game ends with the freaking precursors turning the main villain into an ocelot, and then Daxter's girlfriend getting turned into an ocelot, and now everything's hunky-dory.
Right?
It's all cool, you know.
Everything's cool.
I used to be humanoid, now I'm into animals, so that's fine.
Whatever.
I'm not worried about that.
No one cares.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, he was an other thing for like 3 years. I mean,
I'm used to it by now. Yes. I still like chicks.
Yeah.
Kira was voiced by Tara Strong.
Yes, she was.
Oh wow.
Sweet. Tommy Pickles. Anyway, then they did what they did with Crash Team Race.
Fourth game
was
Kart Racing.
Yep. And that wasn't nearly as good as Crash Team Racing.
Well, it had its moments.
It was a good game fundamentally. It was just a departure that no one. We should have expected, but
no one wanted.
It's like, why do we... this is the second time it had it, so why would we...
The thing was, they actually were trying to add a bit of a story into it as well.
We have the plot of Jack X, what they called it.
Yeah.
Jack X.
Yes.
Yeah.
The story was that, and Jack 3, I think...
X for Extreme.
That guy who... without a Jack 2 or 3, there was a fat guy who used to get
worked. Yeah, the racer. I mean,
And he died. And his daughter shows up and reveals that her dad got like a last will and testament that says they wants to give the Jack and all his friends. They all show up.
Instead of the show.
And they all get like poisoned somehow. And the only way they get the antidote is they enter the racing tournament and win.
That's a ridiculous. That's an
arbitrary. AKA Death Race.
That's a common
thing. And the game is that the daughter, who also got poisoned, was behind the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
And she made money off of it.
We've been double crossed.
Death Race.
But it brought back Kira. That's all I needed.
Hey, why not?
Well, you really wanted Kira back, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, if only games could be. I don't like creative forgetfulness like that.
Yeah,
like, give a character what happened to the mouse moment.
If only that more games could be like Dragon Age, you could just have sex with everyone.
Really, we need Fox News complaining about video games again.
They're gonna do it either way.
I'd rather not keep them fire, like the old fire.
Yeah, true.
Then don't play Modern Warfare.
Fire anyway.
Yep.
See, don't wait for Modern Warfare 3. There's bound to be something that makes them upset.
It's like
Russian airport, anyone?
Skip it. If you're a bitch.
Yeah, you're not really a Nancy boy.
A Nancy boy.
A Southern Dandy.
It's like, what are you, some kind of pillow biter?
Southern Dandy.
No, like, back to Jack X, I'm like, I remember the controls were like, I mean,
the controls were pretty much the controls for the Doom Buggy.
The new one, Jack 3.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, this would be a problem.
Yeah. Because there's one.
I should have, like, if you had known what their record was, you should have seen it coming when they introduced kart racing in the third game.
Exactly.
There is no logical reason. Like, when you had to do those Doom Buggies in the third game, and you had to, like, kill off those like, whatever they were.
Metalheads.
Space buff. Metalheads? Yeah. The way that the Dune Buggy could flip over so easily from the slightest turn.
This rock is just like, okay, I'm going over these hills, one rock. And I'm spinning through the air.
And sometimes it takes you a bit to get up again.
Yeah, it's like, it does that self, right?
I mean, at least it didn't do the Grand Theft Auto thing and just blow up.
We were talking about sort of the symmetry between Jack and, Naughty Dog at this point and Insomniac.
Yeah.
At this point, Insomniac had made the Ratchet franchise.
There's a Ratchet Clank game for every Jack and Dasher game.
Yeah. And then at this point,
or at least it used to be
when
that
Jack X came out, they did Deadlock, which was a departure from what they're
doing.
It was
a Battle Arena game.
Yeah, Battle Arena game multiplayer, online specific. Probably one of the first ones I really picked up hard for the PlayStation 2.
Personally, I would have loved to see like a Jack and Ratchet crossover.
We're going to talk about that.
Yes, we will.
We're going to talk about that. Yes. It happened. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
And don't look at me. I say, will we? Because I will punch you in the face.
How about that guy? I think it's not a good time. And we're gonna take a break.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break. Well, PS3 has come out
Gracie.
I want to say 05.
Wait, what?
PS3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 04?
06.
06.
Oh, 06.
06. 06.
Xbox is 05.
Yeah. So, Naughty Dog, doing what they did, decided they're going to take a 2-year break. We're going to get rid of the Jack franchise. Games came out for the Jack franchise.
They were licensed out.
Like Daxter on PSP.
The PSP was a legitimately good game.
Yeah.
It was a prequel to Jack 2.
Yeah.
Explain how Daxter actually got and found Jack.
Incidentally, a year later, we got Clank. Secret Agent Clank. So, you know,
they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And
but good standout game. Standalone game.
So what ended up happening is Naughty Dog started working on their own new IP, which would become what they are fundamentally known for
right now.
Uncharted.
Yes. Ever seen Indiana Jones? Want to play it? There you go.
Well, there were Indiana Jones games. But
if you want to play an Indiana Jones who looks like he just jumped out of an Abercrombie & Fitch, get along.
There you go.
There we go.
It's like American Eagle. Yeah.
Yes!
And for some reason looks like a younger, sexier Nathan Fillion.
Hey!
Don't shoot
Captain. And it's voiced by the white version of Phil Lamar.
Felidor! Okay, we're gonna talk about that. So yeah, in 07, PS3 was yeah, we are. You're not giving that look. Oh, gouge your eye out.
You got two.
Just one. Yeah. That you're gonna suffer forever.
And you look like a pirate, Paul.
Call me Odin.
Because it's Halloween tomorrow.
It is, right?
Or it was the other day, because this episode is negative. Oh, never mind. Time paradox.
Anyway, so Uncharted Drake's Fortune came out. A game which was one of the best early PS3
games. Yeah.
But it was overlooked.
It wasn't a launch title.
There was no buzz on Uncharted.
None at all.
Oh, wow.
None, yeah. Well, that's because didn't it come out around like the time that there were like there were some other bigger launch games coming out. There you go.
You're gonna get eclipsed by that. It's not.
It's like Snake. Old. Hell yeah.
And like I'd seen what they were doing with Uncharted. Like,
brother.
Because I'm a Naughty Dog fan, and what they've done good games, I wanted to follow them. I saw what the preview for it, and I'm like. And Sonic were doing the exact same thing at the time as well. They ousted Racket and were working on Resistance.
Yeah, which was called IX or I something.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I want to see what these two companies are going to start doing.
Yeah.
Much more mature games. Yeah. Much more. Like, it wasn't like that baby step, the way, like, oh, we're just going to do, big old franchise
and
mascots.
And Naughty Dog fundamentally tapped into... we've talked about this in the Metal Gear podcast, and no one heard because it got messed up.
Well,
that, like, Hideo Kojima
sadly.
Was sort of... A
cinematic experience.
A cinematic, like, he wanted to be a cinematic director. He wanted to do movies. He did games.
But I couldn't cut it.
But he didn't turn it into a interactive experience, but it played as if it was, but it felt like you were playing a movie.
It wasn't.
Like, there's a difference.
No, what I was trying to get to was, like, when he was doing his games, like, you could tell what, like,
the caliber, he
threw in a lot of sort of cinematic tropes and everything, but it still fundamentally worked as a game.
Yeah.
It's like, there were two separate things too. Like, cinematic
narrative is the perfect distillation of what a movie is into a video game
form. Yeah. It's not like a interactive experience game like Heavy Rain. It's literally
is that quick time?
What
action
it would feel
movie
exactly.
With some quick time. With some quick time. Not really.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Action adventure game.
But it's not made off of, let's just watch this movie and then I get to press some buttons.
Uncharted was like, I remember playing Uncharted. Like, the backstory before we start actually talking about Uncharted 1. I've seen the E3 trailer for Uncharted 2.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I realized that, oh shit, Uncharted is something special.
Oh yeah.
And then I went back and played Uncharted 1. And then I was like, this is, if someone would come to me and say they're going to make an Uncharted movie, just do this game.
Yeah.
Don't change anything.
No. Yeah.
Translate. It's like,
honestly.
We'll see.
I mean, it's like the way...
Bradley Cooper might be too old by then.
If he survives Paradise
And Nathan
Lost.
Finn will definitely be too old.
He's too old right now, kind of.
But Bruce Campbell, still old enough to be Sully.
Yep.
Exactly.
There it is.
Whatever.
It's like, and that the Evil Dead reboot is not
He has no choice but to be Sully.
Seriously, what else are you doing?
Yeah, so anyway, Uncharted, the story of Uncharted, before we actually talk about the game itself, is that you're playing as Nathan Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Descendant of Sir Francis Drake, the famous pirate.
Yes.
With air quotes, because he was an actual pirate.
Yar.
Not those pirates in name only. Who
or a butt pirate. That robs your anus.
Anyway, look, no more fanny bandits for you.
So anyway, Nathan and his partner Sullivan are assisting a reporter named Elena.
Her fine ass. Looking like Jennifer Aniston.
Because she's real.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about video game pictures. She was a real girl.
Like, oh, yeah, mocap.
So
the jeans and the aviator pants.
They're investigating Nathan. Apparently, Sir Francis Drake had some treasure.
Yeah.
He was a pirate. Right?
Yeah.
And Drake is trying to claim his legacy, his fortune.
Yeah.
And in doing so, there's some weird supernatural stuff. Other pirate privateers.
Somalians.
Malaysians.
There were a lot of brown people you killed, though. I'll say that. We shot a lot of brown people.
Okay.
And like, wait a minute. Wouldn't this sound like...
There's a dude named Eddie, and he had a golden gun.
Like the dude from World of War. Like, you just steal that from... Can you give me the gun of Rambo? One or one or two. There are others. And it's like basically kind of still Uncharted as like the man's alternative to Tomb Raider, kind of.
It was it was the juvenile kid brother to Tomb Raider.
Yeah, and honestly, it stood. But it's like I was like,
what made it stand apart was not only sort of the pacing of the story, it's how the game played.
Right.
But sort of the dialogue and sort of the comedy.
Yeah, they gave Drake engaged. Great dialogue.
That game made Nolan North a voice actor.
Yeah.
He voice acted before. It's like, this was the game where like he really got to be.
I got a career.
He really got to be himself.
Yeah.
Yay! I have charisma.
He does.
And like they managed to like facilitate the dialogue and stuff like that. Like these exchanges are.
The exchanges between the characters felt real.
It's like
There was no repeated one-liners that got really annoying.
Yeah, like so, like when the game gave you the fourth love interest because you knew she was Elena. By the end of the game, they had a real relationship where legitimately they've been saving each other throughout this entire game. And you can really tell that they care about each other.
Exactly. Although it was a little, and it felt real.
Although, well, except that there's a little too jokey at times. I'm like, so this plane just crashed behind us. Guess I missed that flight.
Well, I mean,
that's a flight of people. Wow.
Hey, there are a lot of people that, as a defense mechanism, make light.
Which means Nathan Drake might be crazy.
Obviously, you see the jumps he does for no reason.
Exactly.
So, Nathan, you could have walked around. I thought it looked better this way.
The big twist of Uncharted 1 is that the entire game sort of revolves around finding this treasure, and once you find sort of the treasure, what happened to the people who buried it?
Yeah.
Kalima.
All of a sudden, the conclusion of the game, like mutant zombies start showing up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then shit gets real.
I was like, where did this come from?
It's literally a tense moment. Like, I remember when we were playing Alan Wake and I got scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got scared playing Uncharted 1. Because it came out of nowhere.
I'm sorry, I don't play Mortal Kombat.
I'm talking about her. I'm sitting there running around like a dark U-boat in the middle of like a mansion.
That was terrifying.
There's dead bodies and ancient guns, like lots of guns. So I'm like,
and this is a freaking Left 4 Dead.
In that moment, it turned into Resident Evil with Nemesis chasing you.
Run! He don't kill you.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, I'm honestly shocked. I had no idea this.
I had been scared chased by something besides Nemesis.
It was a relatively realistic game outside of the weird stunts that Drake does.
Yeah,
and it just juxtapose monsters out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that.
And suddenly, it's zombies.
Like, zombies. And it's like,
what made this game more awesome?
Zombies.
Wait. What about now?
From space. And they're dinosaurs! Zombie dinosaurs!
You want your gold? You'll have to go through my zombies.
Basically.
Anyway, so yeah.
With a mustache.
Uncharted 1, fantastic game.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Great experience. That's a
and it made you wonder, could it get better?
Yes, it did.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
2009 was a year of Uncharted 2.
Yes,
it was.
People were talking about games, but the only game people were really talking
for
about
game of the year was Uncharted 2. Almost
everyone gave Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
Even the BGAs gave it. You know how retarded they are.
Nobody,
it took Uncharted 1 to a
whole nother level.
Catchphrase.
I just remember being, like, taken aback by that trailer at E3.
Just like, jaw-dropping, like,
And how seamless you went from those the CG cinematography.
Yeah.
That was not the right sentence.
The cutscenes.
The actual gameplay was fantastic.
That whole opening sequence was jaw-dropping. Like, I didn't even...
That made Spears Within look like even more dummy.
Like, the thing is, as good as Uncharted 1 was. Uncharted 2 was a movie.
So much.
You want a great video game movie?
There it was.
And Uncharted 2.
Uncharted 2 is the greatest video game movie of all time.
You want a good Punisher movie? Watch Man on Fire or Taken. Just sketch on a t-shirt with a skull on it there. But these, like, Uncharted 2 was like, it managed to get this great story that, like, for diehard gamers, and it also had a bro quality to it.
Sully and Drake.
Well, let's talk about how the story of Uncharted 2 then.
Okay.
Before we start talking about how much we love this game.
Yeah.
Uncharted 2 takes place like an unknown amount of time after 1.
Yeah.
Not enough that there's any gray in Drake's hair.
It's like, you know.
And so the game opens up with Drake working with his old friend, Finn. Finn's girlfriend, Chloe.
Oh.
And it's suddenly revealed that Chloe is one of Drake's ex-girlfriends, and they're still kind of hot for each other.
All I know is Chloe was, she had blue eyes, and she had
the light
skin.
With the red shirt.
And she had a British accent. God damn.
It's like, Layla Kaylee ain't got nothing on it.
Anyway. don't give me strong Layla Kaylee. Anyway, so.
Give him a list about 50 Cent. Come on now.
What?
What?
I thought that was Chelsea Handler. Anyways.
Okay.
So anyway, he roped into like stealing. Well, Chloe and Finn are working for this really weird Russian guy.
Yeah.
They want the help to find the mythical Shambhala.
Shangri-La.
And so Finn knows that he sucks at doing his job, so he gets Drake to help him.
Exactly.
And so they infiltrate. Was it Istanbul?
It's old Constantinople.
It was an Istanbul.
Constantinople.
Yeah.
No, down.
It was like a manor.
No, it's a museum.
There you go.
They infiltrate, break in, and Finn screws Drake out at the last.
Yep, like a little bitch.
Like,
leaves Drake in prison for like 3 months. Like, by the time Sully finds that Drake is gone, so crazy
it went
that he played with Sarah.
This is where that Jeff Chu thing comes in.
He
like,
is
just straight up.
He is cursing out Chloe. He's like, look. I hate you.
I was happy go lucky. It's like, I hate you.
Anyway, Sully manages to help him whip the up. Sully manages to get him out. After Chloe comes and rescues him. And you kind of tell, and then you're sort of left with this sort of ambiguous to her own character.
Right. Yeah.
Because she didn't come get him after he
got
captured.
Nope. Like,
she waited 3 months.
It's 3 months. Like, what were y'all waiting? It was like, we could have gotten Han Solo out of the carbonate a long time ago, but we decided to wait 2 years.
We wanted you to learn.
What are you learning?
Anyway, so they get out of prison, Drake pretty much decides, you know what? I'm going to fuck with Finn's job now because he fucked me over.
Exactly.
And plus I'm smarter than him.
Yeah.
So he follows...
And he's growing a fruit piece. He's got so much body.
Matthew McConaughey looking.
Some flashback. The game's opening sequence is Drake escaping from a train in the middle of nowhere.
That whole sequence amazing.
It is one that teaches you all of the platforming aspects.
Yeah.
While still being a very visceral experience.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's like
even though they know that you're not going to die in the tutorial level, it still feels like you might die.
Yeah, it's like.
And it's like one of those things where, like, Drake is seriously injured. So you're like, intelligent person would say, oh, this is in media red at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Something must happen to Drake, and maybe this is what it
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they flash forward, so Drake and Sully have gone to some weird jungle.
Yeah.
I think it was in South America.
It was Southern or something.
Yeah.
They had to go, please.
The entire thing is Marco Polo. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marco Polo apparently went to Shambhala, and they're investigating what happened to Marco's boats.
Yeah.
He came back to Spain with less than he went.
Were they looking for maps or something?
Yes. Yeah. So, they infiltrate the camp, you know, do some Indian
reconnaissance
shit, which is just make up a plan on the fly.
We're gonna wing it.
There are people here. What are we gonna do?
Shoot them.
Good idea.
Are they brown? Shoot them.
Oh,
everyone here was white.
I know.
Yeah, this time. So I was like,
because they were working with the Russian.
I feel like this time
with the scarred face.
White Russians.
So they infiltrate. They find this weird underground temple where all these people are dead there.
Yeah. And they have black teeth.
And they all have black teeth. Mm. And it actually appears that they...
No
like,
crest?
One of the... What, like, they like they were all killed by one person who then just took his own life.
And they found some, like, resin.
Yeah, some weird resin. The same resin they found when they infiltrated the museum. The
right. Yeah.
Mm. Meanwhile, Chloe portrays them again.
You whore!
Betrayal one more time.
So, you get a really funny scene of Drake and Sully. Sully's like, I'm too old.
Yeah.
Put a full-on Danny Glover.
After we escape, I'm going to some whorehouse in Florida or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, Thailand, something. Yeah.
I wouldn't go to a whorehouse in Thailand. Just saying, it's not a good idea.
They're all places.
Really?
Anyway, so Drake decides to infiltrate some weird Middle Eastern
because they're all weird.
Asian-esque I'm calling it weird because I don't know where it was.
Mongolia?
It was indistinct. It was definitely visually indistinct.
All we know is there was a civil war going on because this the main villain, Lazarvik, has shown up and just wreaked havoc searching for clues to get to Shambhala.
Yes. Yeah.
And lo and behold, while Drake is running around, he runs into Elena.
Yep, and Jeff.
Awkward.
This is Jeff, my cameraman. And my mother.
Him and Chloe meet up, and they work together through several levels. And one of my favorite is when they get locked in an elevator, and Drake is like, has to, you know, like, do some Indiana Jones shit to get out, like, to get Chloe out of the elevator. He's like, girl, locked in an elevator, dark corridors, and zombies show up around the corner.
Yep. It's a little throwback to the first game.
Seriously, this is like some Scooby-Doo bullshit. Like,
so you run into Elena, and she's covering, after the whole Uncharted 1 thing, it appears she and Drake had a relationship, but it didn't work out. She called herself last year's model.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure after what happened with Francis
Drake, and because of the graphic quality of these games, you can see the look on each of their faces.
The mocapping they did for those conversations are fantastic.
Yeah. So you just see them stress wrinkles on Elena's forehead. Out! Out!
So, this is the new bit, right?
And like, so you're playing. You get this weird sequence where you're traveling all the group. You infiltrate more into this legend of Shambhala. You learn where it is. You get attacked, and Jeff gets shot.
Of course, because he's the cameraman.
And then Elena,
tell me about it.
Was like, you need to save Jeff. Well, Chloe's like, we need to leave this guy.
Yeah,
go ourselves. And
Drake's like,
the kind of the characters. One of the interesting things about Honor Among Thieves is Drake's sort of hero complex. And whether, even though he's essentially
he's a master thief, but not really a good thief.
He's a tomb robber.
He's like, tomb robber. Thief. It's like, those are gold teeth. I'm taking those.
but he still ends up saving the day.
He has a strong moral compass.
Yeah, a strong moral compass.
Not that strong.
I have to save Jeff.
That's the wrong race.
Unfortunately, Lazarvik shows up again. Kills Jeff. Chloe betrays him once more.
You whore! Why do we keep on with this?
She is so wishy-washy.
You know what they say about them crazy chicks.
And Drake and Elena have to run away.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
But it's not like that's
what they right.
No, and she fights for herself.
Exactly. Because Elena at this point has realized, look.
After that last game, which kept being kidnapped.
And if I'm going to be a journalist in these war zones, I'm going to have to know how to shoot a piece. And, you know, it's going to be going
maybe
down.
Maybe she should just be like an anchor or something.
Like, well, after this one, maybe. So Drake decides, no, Chloe's not that bad. I need to go rescue her. And it's like, okay, we'll go do that.
Sure, why not?
And so they infiltrate Lazarvik's
train. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the sequence everyone talks about when they talk about Uncharted, the train sequence.
Yep.
Where Drake jumps on a moving train, and it seamlessly moves from jungle environment to a vast snowy mountain.
Oh yeah!
Now, if you were playing the game from the beginning, you would realize, "Well, this must be the train."
Yep. What's gonna happen to Drake? Oh god! He was bleeding.
It's like this turn. It wanted Inception.
I think again, Chloe betrays you once more. After they.
And this time, Finn shoots you.
Yeah. After you sort of come to terms with the whole hero complex that Drake has.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Drake winds up in passing out in the snow, but gets rescued by Elena and some very friendly people from Nepal.
Inuits. You know, I've always wondered how. He passed out in the snow and he was bleeding everywhere. How cold was it? Like he must have been so uncomfortable.
The cold helped the wound.
Arab scarf could have helped him. That he was rocking throughout the entire game until he got to wear that stupid outfit.
The jacket?
Yes.
The dumb jacket?
It's stupid.
But he's white. They do so well in the cold. Like, if he was black, he would be like, get me out of here!
Good one, Thurnis. Well, if he was black, he would have got ashy. Yeah.
That'd be the least of his problems.
That's why they never put black people in cold environments of games. Because then they have to take the time out to actually put the ash and the mocap and all that.
Yeah. The Drake wakes up in this weird.
Oh, black man, nice.
Here's some of the mood with Lash. You wake up in this sort of sunny Nepalan village, all these happy children, cows all over the place. And.
That's nice.
And Drake. He's walking around, they call him Paleface. Guy who has some information that he could use to figure out the whole Shambhala thing.
Yep.
Shambhala. So you go with this,
what's his name?
forgot his name.
I loved him, though.
I went, huh, I forgot his name.
You couldn't understand each other, but you formed a bond.
Yeah.
He fought a Yeti for you.
Wait, okay, that's the big twist of this game. It is, like, I should have seen it coming. So you're climbing this snowy mountain.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one of the Uncharted's coolest cinematic moments where you climb up a wall and it, like, pans back.
Yeah.
And as it pans back, you just kind of see a figure that moves and comes out of camera.
Yeah. It now, did.
I was playing this part with Marcus, I think,
it was me, Rajesh,
and Pedro.
Yeah.
They didn't notice it, I did. And I had to take a double take because I was like, oh, God, please no.
And then like, suddenly, Yeti.
Yeti's nowhere. Yeti's so big that you have to use like several clips to take one.
And they are fast.
Like
deceptively
like,
fast. Running,
like, fast zombies ain't got nothing on these like Sasquatches.
And the scary thing is, they are agile too, so they're jumping all over the place. They're beating up, his name?
They're feral and just wild and just like.
It's hardcore. It's hardcore.
It's really.
Anyway, as you're. After you escape from hundreds of Yetis, you find that your guide's village has been attacked.
Yep.
And they
Colonel Schaefer.
But yeah, that was a German guy. Yeah, but we're talking about the guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember like the other guys because that's what's his name?
The Paul guy.
And doesn't Elena get messed up?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So anyway, you
Tenzin.
Yeah, Tenzin.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're infiltrating and. You go back to the village, big attack, so Drake decides to save it. Mm-hmm. Ends up getting captured.
Yeah.
Bad guys win. They find Shambhala.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shambhala. Stupid Finn.
And Tibet is lost.
Unfortunately, it turns out they're not Yetis. They're guys hopped up on the serum, the sap from the Tree of Life, and they are crazy. And they just start wrecking shit.
So it's like you remember the village when Adrian Brody was running around going all crazy. It's like that, except they were hopped up on steroids.
And all PCP, whatever. Like
that. So the last I'm gonna say 10% of the game is you in Shambhala with Elena and Chloe in this weird sort of triangle co-op.
Yes, he let Chloe back in.
Yes.
Will you ever learn? Because
she's fine.
She's been going.
Do you see that booty?
Well, Drake comments on the booty several times.
He does.
I love junk in the trunk.
By the end of the game, Drake actively, like, Lothargus pretty much goes up to Drake and says, you think you're the hero? You've killed hundreds of my men. You are no hero.
And then he just, like, eats the resin.
Well, there's an active choice. Lazarevich betrays Finn at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Shoots him and leaves him to die. Finn shows up to confront Drake one more time with a grenade. And Chloe is caught in Elena is caught in the blast.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the moment of time when Drake sort of realizes that he needs to be with Elena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a subtle love triangle going on in this game that finally gets.
Nothing like near death experiences.
Yeah.
To put them in perspective.
So as they're trying to escape the place, Drake decides, you know, I gotta stop with Arvid. He can't become immortal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you show up too late and he does become immortal. And there's this really long boss fight where he chases you around with a shotgun. And you have to blow him up.
Yeah.
That was probably maybe, like, it was.
It's almost like that.
The first time I did that, it took me, like, 7 tries. Right. Second time, it only took me once.
It's almost like that boss fight with the boss. He's like, just got put late claymores everywhere.
Yes, it's like, okay, it's kind of not really what I want to do. So
Drake ends up destroying the Tree of Life.
Yep.
Shambhala.
Idrisil.
And escapes. Unfortunately, they're not sure if Elena will survive. Game flashes to get the ending where the two of them together.
And they are having this awesome conversation about if each one of them was scared. And
Drake's like, I'm like, I was just like, if I had to rank how scared I was, this is about 8. What's a 10? Clowns.
I hate clowns.
I hate clowns.
This is the best part of a challenge. One, they fixed in terms of what made Uncharted 2 a better game.
Uh-huh.
One, the dialogue, the weird little Easter eggs, but they tightened up the controls.
Yes.
Yeah.
One, melee combat felt like an actual option and
not like I'm out of bullets.
You have to have.
Yeah.
The actual aiming and how the guns worked was so smooth.
Reticle was so much more on point. And like, even the animation, just like.
I was always Superman punching people in the face, though.
Yeah. I was in that Lost Flying Shepherd punch to people.
game fundamentally just played better.
And it looked better, too. Just the fluidity of, like, hanging off a ledge. And it's kind
of so smooth. It was
one of the things when, like, when they interviewed the creators of the game, they talked about one of the things they do with Uncharted is the story is based... the story they use is pretty much just to push them graphically.
Yeah. And, like...
Like, this one, the snow and that transition... Yeah. Train,
dynamics.
That was... Dynamic.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Yeah. And the amount of manpower, the power, the only the PS3 could do.
Yeah, the horror and the horsepower too. Because like,
suck it, Microsoft.
Like this is an infinitely more playable game than the first one because like you have the co-op on top of that.
Yep.
Which some can say is unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but I welcome the opportunity, the option for it.
It was well done enough.
Yeah, I didn't really do the
cooking. I wouldn't play it though. But that's because I don't play online.
The co-op was pretty much just like you work with other people in like a team deathmatch or vent spot. Yeah, like a horror mode with an actual goal.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite parts.
It was welcome.
One of my favorite parts of Uncharted is like the little bit. Like, one of the things I did when I got when I finished the game, I started buying all the behind the scenes stuff and saw how they did the game. All the conversations for the most part are sort of like ad-lib stuff. They just
improvised. Yeah.
And you can and
there's chit-chatty.
The chat between the characters, like just how they all interact with each other, is so fantastic. And as like one of my favorite scenes in the game is Jake. Like, there's a pool on top of some weird hotel, and you have the option to jump into the pool. And normally in the game, you jump in.
Oh yeah.
And there's no little thing. Drake jumps in. Marco.
And you actually get a trophy for this.
Yeah, and like Chloe's like, I don't want to say it. Marco. Hello. Then when you get out of the water,
fish out of the water.
Ah, you get a little moment of dialogue between the characters. Just
so it's good that you could tell that the voice actors are having just as much fun as the actual characters seem to be.
And as we did in
exactly.
the game. So, yeah.
It's an all-around good experience.
It's one of the few games in my collection I've played on multiple occasions, and I still get something out of it.
Which is why the third one coming out is just even more exciting. Because you know how...
Uncharted 3, there's nothing that... I feel the same way about Uncharted 3. It's the same way I feel about The Dark Knight Rises.
Damn.
The Dark Knight is one of the pinnacle of superhero games. It's not superhero games.
Movies.
Superhero movies. There's really nowhere you can go higher from that.
Can we get much higher?
So high. It's one of those things where, like, I'm excited for Uncharted 3.
They're doing themselves to
push themselves into a corner. There's no way this game will be better than Uncharted.
It's like, it'll only be compared to...
Well, the thing is, but what if it's better?
Early reviews have come out and it's not.
Oh.
But it's not bad.
I was never worried about it being bad.
I was never worried about it being bad. I was always worried about whether it failed comparison to Uncharted 2. Mm. It does in a way, but it's still a good game in its own merits.
Now, by good, are we talking 9 out of 10, or...
But we haven't picked up the game yet.
We haven't picked up the game. X-Play went and gave it a 4 out of 5.
Was the first
one mean shit.
But if you read Adam Sessler's review, he talks about how great the game is, and they only got a 4 because of some small sort of issue that he had with the game.
Gotcha.
Though, on the Metacritic for right now is 94 out of 100. Uncharted 2 got 96 out of 100.
Okay, so it's not that
it's
far.
It's not that far off.
Just like a couple notches.
Would you give Dark Knight Rises?
We'll see.
Like,
we won't know.
We'll see. Because honestly, in my opinion, I'm not excited for Dark Knight Rises.
You'd be the only one.
One is the loneliest number.
Uncharted 3.
But yeah, I'm looking for a picture.
I remember this year's E3. I knew Sony was going to bring out the Uncharted footage. I kept thinking in my head, the only thing they can do...
They can undo this whole, like, PlayStation Network outage thing is some really good news, and Uncharted is, like, an ace in the hole.
No, like, if they want to show off Uncharted, if they want to, like, have the best press conference they can have, just do what they did with Uncharted 2, just show off something as dynamic as the first
one. Awesome.
And the trailer was, like, Drake and, like, and it was, like, kind of boring. You're just going around, like, the dark, taking people out. I'm like...
Okay, this
is
alright.
And then the ship starts to sink, and I'm like,
now we're talking.
This is Uncharted 3.
Now
like, all the trailers just have, like, Drake, like, falling out of a moving plane. Like, it's still moving.
It's like, why am
I... It was hard to beat the Uncharted 2 trailer because of the fact that Drake walks in the sand, and you see there's a crashed blimp. And
it's like, blimp.
And it's just like, what did I get myself into now?
What's
through
the drain?
So, like, dynamically, from what the... They chose, the creative director for the game chose sort of a desert standpoint because they wanted to push Naughty Dog more. Like, and they want to do a more sort of dynamic effect.
That Desert, yeah. that Desert Sand stuff.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Now,
where do we go from here?
We're not. Here's the thing. Naughty Dog, three games, the cart game. Are we going to see an entire card game?
I can see some Wave Runners going in. I can see some Wave Runners.
Oh, God. It's about to be a Dune Buggy Desert Race game.
The way they structured Uncharted.
Uh-huh.
I keep saying it's you. Uncharted.
Hey.
The way they started Uncharted is that they can pull out a game every 2 years and do standalone stories.
Yeah.
It's a franchise that can go on forever as long as they have stories to tell.
So long as they have some writers. Because
they have
one of the best writers.
They do. They do.
One of the writers who took... Like, I'm not a feminist in any way, shape, or form. But I can get behind the two female lead from Uncharted 2 for being strong characters who at no point needed you to hold their hand.
Yes. Nope.
They were strong female characters. They weren't, like, they needed to be whored out.
They weren't like nor Bella Swan.
Nor were they just, like, managed women or anything like that. It's like...
Where Naughty Dog goes as a company
right.
will be interesting.
Yeah.
Because as much as I want to see Uncharted go on forever,
I wouldn't mind a fourth one.
I want them to do something new.
Yeah. True.
Because every time they do something new, they get better.
Yeah.
That's true. But then again, how exactly do you get better than Uncharted?
That one of the least female characters be
Uncharted.
Well, flipping on the Insomniac thing, when we were talking about the Cemetery of them, Insomniac Theater Resistance, it was their sort of big new IP,
yeah.
but they went back to Ratchet.
Because Resistance was...
The first Resistance game was the best launch title on the PS3.
Yeah.
All those games. Resistance 2 was a really good game. And Resistance 3, also a really good game. Just maybe doesn't...
And they kept doing Ratchet games. But now they've got a new IP out. Overstrike.
Overstrike, yeah.
Which I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
You're killing me, you small.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing me, small.
Yeah.
See, I see with your pants. And
you said Overstrike?
Yes.
Yeah.
You and your hat and your shirt and your pants.
I'm
wearing those. Yeah.
The only thing we're going to be seeing from after this game, there's probably going to be a 2-year development cycle.
For whatever they're
going to do next. Three, if they're doing something new. Mm-hmm. But we're getting a Jak and Daxter HD collection in 2012.
Yes, there's that coming up.
So if you're a masochist and want to go play Jak 1 again, like I am...
Because that's what I want to do. Like, hey guys, want to play Banjo-Kazooie with the little big thumb nub thing?
One thing you can expect from Naughty Dog, there's probably never ever going to be a fourth game in the franchise. It's always going to be three games in a
kart race.
Some kind of racing game. We've got to race on something. What about now? Unicycles! Unicycles everywhere!
I'd play that.
It's like,
yeah. Okay. I think this has been a good enough look into Naughty Dog and their sort of franchise of games.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Their evolution from, like, mascot to action platformer to space adventure game.
They are the main reason people should own a PS3.
Yeah, for games.
Oh, yeah.
And they're big, and they're like, if you need an example of games or art, this is probably this is...
Suck it, Roger Ebert.
he's let that go.
I just like seeing Roger Ebert as a troll.
He's sick.
Most critics are trolls.
Yeah.
More critics.
Exactly.
Drake.
I would really call it pundit. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah. This was us talking about, what were we talking about?
Naughty Dog.
There we go.
Naughty Dog.
You were about to say we were talking about Uncharted, aren't you?
Like, yes, we were.
Pretty much word to me.
For Autobots.
Look at you, Thurnus. All quiet there. On your iPad
for an hour.
I've been reading.
He's been doing research.
Yeah, I've been sitting here reading about everything y'all are talking
about. You should have asked questions and said something.
You know Thurnus only got the Atari.
We're technology. Does it plug into a printer?
Who has printers?
It does wireless thing. You're retarded. Let's move on.
Aw. Aw, poor Thurnus.
You have to throw me under the bus like that.
I'm sorry, we're running long.
We hate you so much.
This sounded awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
so we'll wrap this episode up. Next episode is going to be 052. Going to be us talking about first-person shooters.
You can look forward to that one.
Because Battlefield is coming out, and Modern Warfare 3 are coming out. So, man, we should probably just get this out of the way.
We're just going to sleepwalk through that episode.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah, I can fire my load on a few guns.
You can.
I played a lot of first-person shooters in my time.
Indeed I have. Some good, some bad.
Yes.
Many forgettable.
Oh, God.
So many that I just forgot. Oh, so many lost
Golf Balls. It's because it was on the Wii. Exactly. Let's just be real.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But let's save that for the SPS episode.
That one, better than Pariah. Oh, so much lost. Oh, it's a level editor in an Xbox. Isn't it great?
Which is Danger Zone. BBBLoversAnonymous.tumblr.com. It's got, you know how, it's like the Bermuda Triangle there, because, you know, just no one goes there. And when people do, they just seem to never come back. Yeah. And then we have Facebook, Pop Culture Podcast. And we've got Spill. Where are y'all at? Y'all were supposed to be on our... I mean, y'all look at our 50th episode. What's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with y'all? Where was the support? So? Exactly. What's up, Spill? What's going on? But yeah, look, Raw.com. Look for me if I post reviews, whatever. And just look up Pop Culture Podcast over there. And we have the WordPress. Yes. Because we're trying to make a conglomerate here, people. If you listened to the 50th episode, you would have known that. I mean, yeah, or 50.5, whatever. Whatever.
It's been 25-20. Oh!
Yeah! And that was that. That's been plugged.
I'll be looking forward next week for an active hands-on comment.
I can't wait to hear this.
Chances are the one that'll be reviewing it is Avery. Also because, you know, I mean, I'm broke.
I try.
Job offers?